More and more, as I watch television, which is seldom anymore, but watch the news or catch Judge Judy, one of my mom's favorite shows, I pause and say to myself, what a messed up world. These people have really made messes of their lives. Maybe you've said the same thing. Now, I could go through my long list of Saunders Sunday gripes about what's wrong with the world and so on. But I think if we're honest, we have to say what's wrong, and just looking at our country, what's wrong is we've forgotten God. Now, why? Go back. Go back to about the year 1600. Many of us, somewhere in our education, heard of a philosopher named Descartes. And Descartes came up with this idea, which he said, cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. That's the root of the problem. Prior to that, even from Aristotle, the pagan Greek, all through the times of the Christian philosophers, it was, God is, therefore I am. And everything is in relationship to God, who and his creation. So Descartes flipped it around and really made ourselves the person, God. I think, therefore I am, and whatever I think is. Well, we take it to today, and what do we have? It's more like, I feel, therefore I am. So not only have we given up faith, we've now given up reason. I feel, therefore I am. I feel today like I'm a boy, so I'm a boy. I feel tomorrow like I'm a girl, I'll be a girl. Just as a little story. I was having dinner last week with my buddy Father Spahala at St. Lawrence Parish. And he said that after morning mass, he heard the scream. And so he rushed out of the sacristy, and this elderly lady came up and said, Father, Father, there's a man in the girls' room. Turned out to be a real woman. So must have been a bad hair day or something. But anyway, this is the problem we're facing. And as I was discussing, I thought, well, I always wanted to be an American Indian when I was a little kid. My mom made me the outfit. I had a teepee. I had the war bonnet, a tomahawk I used on my brother. And so I think today I'm going to be an American Indian, to which Father Spahala said, yeah, Sitting Bull. But anyway, with all of that said and done, today we turn our hearts back to God. This is the feast day of the Most Holy Trinity. We believe in one true God, who in his love has revealed himself in three divine persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all equal, all distinct, all eternal, all fully sharing the divine nature of God. Now, this is a mystery. The Catechism states that the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of the Christian faith and life. It is the mystery of God in himself. It is therefore the source of all the other mysteries of faith, the light that enlightens them. Notice how often the word mystery is used, because we wouldn't know it if God hadn't revealed it. Our poor human reason, as limited as it is, could not come up with the Holy Trinity. Also, our poor human reason is limited. How can we possibly comprehend an all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal, infinite God? The words are beyond our comprehension. Also, our reason isn't perfect. We're the poor victims of original sin. Our reason needs to be purified, and it's purified by faith. God has revealed himself to us. So we look then to this God who has shown us through the revelation of the Trinity how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to find true life and true love. So go back to even the creation. In our first passage from the Old Testament, we hear of the wisdom of God. So this capital W, wisdom, that is one with God, but different. So go to the Genesis account, and we hear how of God the Father spoke, saying, let there be light. He spoke through his word, capital W word, his wisdom, capital W, wisdom, and created. And he created with purpose, design, order, and beauty. The Holy Spirit hovered over this creation, breathing life into it. In all, though, we see the work of the Holy Trinity in the creed we even profess when we come to Jesus, through whom all things were made. He's the Word. He is the wisdom of God. When we come to the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord and giver of life, the mystery of the Trinity. It's beyond reason. That doesn't make it unreasonable, but it's faith. And faith allows us to enter into the presence of God. Faith allows us to ponder the very life and love of God and appreciate that. Of course, as we read through the Old Testament, we see how God the Father spoke through His Word and also in union with the Holy Spirit to make that covenant with Adam and Eve, then Noah, then Abraham, then Moses, then David, and then speaking through the prophets to prepare the way for the Messiah. Pause here, though. Why did Israel fall? They forgot God. Why did they need a Messiah? They forgot God. All throughout the Old Testament, the problems of Israel were they forgot God, relied on themselves, and they sinned. But this revelation comes to perfection when we consider our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Father so loved, He gave His only Son. Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit, and through her, Jesus, true God, became also true man. As we read in St. John's Gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with enduring love and grace. So my brothers and sisters, that's the beginning. Go through the Gospels, and we know the scene of the baptism, scene of the transfiguration, the Trinity is revealed. In our Gospel passage today, we hear of Jesus speak of His Heavenly Father, and if we looked at the whole part of St. John's Gospel from which the passage is taken, Jesus says, if you see Me, you see the Father. You hear Me, you hear the Father, but they are distinct. Jesus talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit to be fully revealed at Pentecost, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Trinity. So when our Lord told the apostles to go out and baptize, He said, do that in the name, not names, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One God, three divine persons. We need to not only embrace this faith, but also to fall in love with the Trinity so that we can know how to live life. Life not only in a sense of creation, in a physical sense, but also the moral order, because God gave order, the moral truth and purpose of this creation. So consider what we believe as Christians. We believe that God, the Trinity, has made each of us in His image and likeness. He's given us a body and a soul. That is good. A rational soul that has intellect and free will. So my brothers and sisters, each of us should appreciate who we are as a person. We're made in God's image and likeness. We also need to think that if there's a disconnect, that if I look and say, well, my body doesn't match my soul, my thinking part, something's wrong with the thinking part, not with what God had created. And in compassionate help, we need to help such people. But continue on. God also, in His wisdom, created them man and woman, male and female. That's miraculous. Because men and women share many things together, hearts, lungs, livers, kidneys, and so on. What don't they share? What makes other human beings? So to have the completeness of that image and likeness of God, God gave us marriage. Man and woman are united as one. And that is a miraculous gift in itself. Together in union with God, husband and wife can bring forth love. created as a child, they can bring forth that miraculous gift. Then, in a community of persons, just like the Trinity, they're promising to share that faithful, permanent, self-giving love that is of God Himself. The family, then, is that basic building block for society. And then, as time goes on, we see how the family extends. One of the great privileges and joys I have as a priest is when a couple comes and asks for a renewal of vows or a blessing for their 50th or even 60th anniversary of marriage. One knows they've gone through good times, bad, sickness and health, but there they are, still faithfully together in God's presence. That is the love of the Trinity. Even when one may be passing from this life, what a great act of love it is to give of oneself to help that person go back to God. This morning I was called to sunrise out in Reston to anoint and give the last rites to an elderly lady, 96 years old. Her husband had passed already. She had no children, but her niece, her great niece, was taking care of her. It had taken care of her for the past 6 years. How beautiful that is. And now she's helping her aunt to pass from this life. But that's the love of the Trinity. Faithful, permanent, self-giving, life-giving love. My brothers and sisters, think how if we lived by this faith that we embrace as Christians, how unmessed this world would be. How unmessed our own lives would be. It's interesting that our founding fathers knew this. Let me just give you a few short quotes from our first four presidents. George Washington: "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." Then John Adams: "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Then we have Thomas Jefferson: "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of a gift from God? They are not to be violated, but without incurring His wrath." And then James Madison: "Before any man can be considered a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe." And so, my brothers and sisters, it's not "I think, therefore I am." It's not "I feel, therefore I am." No, it's "God is, therefore I am." And therefore, I can find the path to real life and love. May God bless you.